Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Immigration Experts Discuss Recommendations for Biden-Harris Administration. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have an opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touchtone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. I will be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn today's program over to Ben Johnson, Executive Director of the American Immigration Lawyers Association.
Thank you so much, and thank you all for joining the call. We're here to talk about some recommendations for the Biden-Harris, new Biden-Harris administration. This conversation is really driven by the fact that much has been done during the Trump administration to undermine our nation's immigration system. We've really seen 4 years of the Trump administration using the power of the presidency to wage an unrelenting assault on almost every aspect of our immigration system. So leveraging the expertise of our membership and the professional staff here at AILA, we produced a roadmap for the Biden administration to undo the harm caused by the Trump administration and build back an immigration system that's not only efficient and effective, but has integrity and, perhaps as important, humanity. These recommendations are focused on reforms that can be done using the authority of the executive branch. So they're not dependent on legislative reform. These aren't reforms that are dependent on the outcome of the Senate races, for instance. These are proposed changes that could have a profound impact on improving our system. That being said, real reform will continue to be dependent on the willingness of Congress to come together and pass legislative reform. For now, however, all eyes will be on the Biden administration to fulfill a commitment it made in its immigration platform to forcefully pursue policies that safeguard our security, provide a fair and just system that helps to grow and enhance our economy, and to secure our cherished values. So in pursuit of that, that's the reason that we have created this roadmap, and it really is the great work of the AILA membership, leadership, and of course our professional staff, two of which are with us today. So, but we do have three experts with us to help walk through all of this. The first is Greg Chen, who is the Senior Director of Government Relations here at the American Immigration Lawyers Association. He's been leading AILA's government relations and advocacy efforts for 10 years and is a leading voice and expert on immigration law and policy. Chev Dalal Dehaney is the Director of Government Relations here at AILA, with a particular focus on adjudications issues. And she's prior to joining AILA, she spent 11 years working at USCIS, working her way up to special counsel on adjudications issues when we were lucky enough to have her join our team. And then finally, Leon Rodriguez. Leon is a partner at the law firm of Seyfarth Shaw and is an active member of AILA's Federal Litigation Task Force. Thank you for that, Leon. From 2014 to 2017, Leon served as the Director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Following a more than two-decade career as a prosecutor, law firm partner, and government agency leader, including from 2011 to 2014, serving as the Director of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights. So thank you to the three experts that are here. Greg, why don't you start us off, and then we can go down the line.
Great. Thanks so much, Ben, for the introduction. It's wonderful to be here with all of you. My comments are going to focus on an initial message-setting focus that we think the president-elect should be setting, the immigration court system, second, and thirdly, the impact of changes that could be done for asylum seekers and people arriving at the border. Of course, we can't possibly cover all the issues in this brief presentation here, so we certainly recommend that you look at the AILA vision for the future of immigration reform, which is on our website, AILA.org. The first thing that AILA has recommended in our vision statement is that the incoming administration, President-elect Biden, should send a forceful message in the first days of his coming to office. And that message should say that America is a welcoming nation and to remind us of that incredible foundational history of our country and what we continue to be as a country. And importantly, that message should also emphasize the other side of the coin that the administration will not engage in, nor will it tolerate the scapegoating of immigrants, which unfortunately is a message that needs to be sent, given the history of what has happened in the past 4 years of many, many policies that have been implemented that have, in fact, excluded and banned immigrants with an anti-immigrant approach. Along with that message, the president should announce plans to undo some of the most abhorrent bans on immigrants that have come in the past several years. I'll just name a few. This would be the Muslim ban, various asylum bans that have been issued, of which there are several, and the ban that was justified only this year on pretext of protecting the country for COVID reasons. But as we know, and as what's been reported, that justification is entirely false and has no basis in science or fact. Those are just a few of the exclusions of immigrants that should be immediately announced as being on the chopping block to be removed by the incoming Biden administration. It's also important in the very early days of the Biden administration for him to deliver on major promises such as the reinstatement of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, DACA, and another one, the imposition of a moratorium on deportations, which would allow the administration to take a closer look at how enforcement has been done by the current administration. And it's AILA's assessment that the current administration's methods have neither been smart or effective, and certainly have not been humane. So that needs a very close examination, and by setting a moratorium on deportations, as the administration that's coming in has promised to do, that will give time to reassess that. The second major topic I'll address is the courts. The immigration courts hear hundreds of thousands of cases of people facing removal every year. Unfortunately, contrary to what I think the public generally believes, our immigration courts are not independent. The courts operate under the jurisdiction and authority of the Department of Justice, which unfortunately has an inherent conflict of interest because the Department of Justice also prosecutes immigration cases directly. That conflict has led to a weakness that has been very much exploited by the current administration, and it has politicized the courts. In particular, President Trump, for example, has appointed nearly 300 of the current 520 immigration judges. That authority, of course, is at the president's within his authorities, but the ones he has appointed have a strong prosecutorial and political bias. Just take, for example, the chief immigration judge, Tracy Short, had no prior judging background and was the chief prosecutor himself before taking on the position of chief immigration judge. We've also seen those results happen in the overall denial rates of asylum cases that appear before the judges. And in 2020, the courts denied 72% of all asylum cases. That's a historic record. And that transformation of the courts into a much more exclusionary practice of denying asylum cases has meant that thousands of people are being unjustly removed from the country and forced back into harm's way. In fact, two judges that were elevated to the Board of Immigration Appeals in 2019, the last year they sat as judges, had granted not a single asylum case that came before them. In a manner of speaking, there wasn't a single asylum case that they liked at all. So the new Attorney General and the administration come in, have several things they can do. They need to remove the politicization of the courts. They need to also restore fundamental powers to immigration judges that had been stripped by this administration. You may have reported upon the fact that Attorneys General Barr and his predecessor, Attorney General Sessions, issued several opinions in which they took away the power of judges to administratively close cases or terminate cases or continue cases. Without those powers, judges can't manage their dockets. And what we've seen happen is that the actual dockets have skyrocketed because of mismanagement. In my last minute, I just want to focus on the asylum system, and that's not nearly enough time to talk about what's happened with asylum, but I will just mention three things very quickly. First, the substantive law changes that the administration has made that are excluding asylum seekers absolutely needs to be changed. We've seen the impact on victims of domestic violence and gang persecution being excluded because of that, so that's something the incoming administration should look at very closely. The second major area is that asylum is a functional problem that is operating most intensively at the border, and the Biden administration is going to need to surge resources to the border, including asylum officers to screen those cases better, and humanitarian aid, and also legal counsel to help those people be processed more effectively. Lastly, the detention of asylum seekers that has escalated during this administration is subjecting them to inhumane practices that contravene humanitarian law. And AILA is strongly recommending the Biden administration find ways to process asylum seekers in an orderly fashion, but also in a fair, humane fashion, which has not been done by this administration. I'm going to now pass it over to Shev Dalal-Daney. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you, everybody, for joining. I'm going to be covering two major topics. One is on the legal immigration system in general and efficiencies that are needed. And then the second are specific recommendations in the employment-based and family-based immigration system. As Greg mentioned at the outset, the new administration really needs to come in and set a welcoming message that honors our history as a nation of immigrants and the contributions made by immigrants. And this can only be done by the Biden administration if it ensures fairness, efficiency, and accountability in the legal immigration system. U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, USCIS, is the agency charged with administering the legal immigration system. It must be reformed to make it accountable to the public and true to its congressionally defined mission to provide prompt, consistent, and fair adjudications to its customers. Since fiscal year 2016, USCIS's processing times have increased by 101%, primarily because of unnecessary hurdles that have been placed in the ability for individuals and companies to apply for benefits and then have those cases adjudicated timely and efficiently. The new administration should rescind all policies that have significantly and unnecessarily burdened case processing across all USCIS product lines. Some of the key priorities that we identify in our document are reinstating adjudicator deference so that they don't need to re-adjudicate cases that they've already adjudicated, rescinding mandatory interviews where eligibility is not in question, ensuring consistent adjudications across all service centers and all product types, stopping the no blank space policy, which results in rejections of applications before they can even be adjudicated if a non-material space has been left blank, and increased transparency in processing time so people have a better way of understanding what's going on with their case and when they can make inquiries as to why it's been delayed. Secondly, USCIS needs to honor its statutory mission to be an immigration benefit granting agency. Over the past 4 years, we have seen USCIS turn more into an enforcement agency focusing on extreme vetting rather than its statutory mission of granting and adjudicating immigration benefits. The immigration responsibilities have been divided into three agencies, and one of which has an enforcement capability, and USCIS needs to focus on its duties. In addition, USCIS really needs to look at strengthening the naturalization, parole, and other programs to assist members of the armed forces, veterans, and their families who are serving our nation and are eligible for immigration benefits. In addition, USCIS needs to restore its commitment to public service and customer engagement. They can do this by reopening liaison channels and stakeholder engagement to ensure that problematic adjudication issues are clearly conveyed and solutions are developed together and not in isolation from a policy world. They need to understand the impact of the policies on the individuals who are applying. And finally, USCIS really needs to focus on making the immigration system accessible to all. We've seen a number of policies that have been issued by this administration, including the public charge rule, the affidavit of support rule, the USCIS fee rule, that are truly designed to keep out certain types of individuals of certain economic background out of our legal immigration system. And that benefits no one. So we call on the new administration to review the fee rule, rescind it, and rescind the public charge rule as well. Similarly, AILA is calling on adjudicatory reforms at the Customs and Border Protection, CBP, and the Department of State to ensure consistency in adjudications across all ports of entries, all consulates, as well as USCIS. Specifically for CBP, we recommend that they should promote uniformity in adjudications at all of their ports of entry by making their guidance public so the public can hold them accountable where there are discrepancies when one individual from one port is treated differently than another individual at another port of entry. DOS should also take immediate steps to address the adjudication backlogs created by the COVID-19 pandemic by innovating adjudication methods, reinstating visa waiver interviews for individuals whose visas have expired before they were able to travel due to the COVID travel bans, and permit visa revalidation for those individuals who are in the United States and are unable to travel overseas because of the pandemic. So these are just the overarching theme of, like, we need accountability and transparency and consistency so that adjudications are fair and people can understand how their cases will be adjudicated ahead of time. And specifically as it relates to the employment-based and family-based immigrant visa program, again, it's ensuring efficient and quick processing of work permits and employment authorization verification so that individuals in this economic situation are able to work as soon as possible, providing relief to individuals stuck in immigrant visa backlogs, promoting fair wages, not only for U.S. workers, but also for foreign workers, and using immigration to spur our economic growth by replacing the Buy American, Hire American executive order with a new executive order that recognizes that foreign nationals help grow the U.S. economy and will contribute to the nation's economic recovery. And we would advocate that this executive order outline policy that would help with bringing more entrepreneurs to the United States through the Entrepreneur Parole Program, the L1 program, and improve existing programs such as H-1B, H-2B, and the EB-5 programs. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Leon, who has the hard job of telling us how we make this all happen, how a new administration can get the job done.
Good afternoon. Thanks, Chev. And I want to start really by congratulating AILA on this document and its set of proposals. Clearly, a lot of work went into them, a lot of thought. And their breadth and depth really is in and of itself evidence of the immense task that this transition team has ahead of it. And as we talk about transition, I think the first question is, what are we transitioning from and what are we transitioning to? The immigration policy of this administration, pretty much from the very first day it took office, was based on two, frankly, irrational premises. The first were a series of biases and prejudices against the immigrants themselves, based in groundless notions of race, class, and national origin. And the second one, and as reflective of the damage that we've seen, is a fundamental belief that civil service, the public servants who operate not only the immigration system, but the entire federal government, are themselves corrupt and incompetent. And based on those beliefs, we've seen a slow process of demolishing and degrading the immigration system as we know it. In fact, what we now need is a restoration of the immigration system that accepts the reality that immigration is essential first to the national interest in every manner in which you may define the national interest, national security, economy, and essential to our national values and essential to what it in fact means to be an American. When we talk about the transition as a process, we should note that it is both a political and an operational process. It is a process of changing policies based on the goals of a new administration, but it is also a process of taking stewardship over the government itself, which is the largest institution in our country. There is no company, there is no set of companies that is anywhere near as large and complex as our federal government. And I think as we look at the tasks before those who are going to be taking the helm of the transition, we do first have to look at the operational challenges which that group will face. We have an agency that, as of the end of the summer, was reporting deficits severe enough to lead over a number of months to the expectation that two-thirds of the USCIS workforce would be furloughed. That alongside the astronomical surge in processing times that Shev just reported a few minutes ago. So this is going to be a day zero undertaking for this transition team and for those who are actually going to be taking the helm of the various immigration agencies come January 20. I congratulate President-elect Biden on the transition team that he has chosen. It is a team that reflects deep experience in all aspects of the immigration system and in the administration of government. As we get to the policy priorities, we can't help but be overwhelmed at the number of things that not only need to be done, but need to be done immediately when this new administration takes office in late January. We have had total destruction of a number of our immigration programs, the impact of which has been to leave hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of human beings in limbo as to both their legal status and as to their very lives. And so we start looking at DACA. Really amazing program launched during the Obama administration that gave young people who grew up in this country, were educated in this country, had no role in how they ended up in this country, gave them a chance to contribute to the society in which they grew up. And contribute they have, going to school, working, becoming parts of every aspect of our economy. We've seen that narrowed progressively. That's something that needs to be addressed day one. The degradation of our refugee admission system, really one of the crown jewels of what it meant to be American, to be to beacon to those in distress in the rest of the world, has now been cut into a fraction of what it was in years previous under both Republican and Democratic administrations. We need to restore the consensus and the commitment of the United States to robust refugee admissions and to a robust asylum program that is consistent with the Geneva Convention. The same with asylum. And as well, temporary protected status in restoring temporary protected status in those countries that continue to be profoundly in distress, not to mention the potentially serious impact on our economy of having sudden loss of work authorization by many of those participating in temporary protected status. I know my time is running out, but we also need to look at the overall impact of the immigration actions taken by the Trump administration on our economy. And the immense and unproductive pressure that's been put on the employment-based immigration system. And undo, and something that can be done in most cases very quickly, undo a number of executive actions taken with respect to employment-based immigration that did nothing other than make things more difficult, did nothing other than create the backlogs that Shev was discussing a few minutes ago, without in any way improving our economy and productivity as a country. So much more that we could talk about here, so much more that needs to be done, but today is, of course, a start. Thanks all.
Thank you, Leon. I really appreciate your comments, the comments from Shev and Greg. So, operator, we can open it up now to questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. You may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, that is star and one to ask a question. We will pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. And once again, that is star and one to ask a question. We'll take our first question from Guinevere Douglas with Bloomberg Law. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you. This is Genevieve Douglas with Bloomberg Law. I was hoping to get some insights from any of the panelists on kind of how a Biden administration would handle this, the Trump administration's recent kind of regulatory rollout. There have been a lot of proposed rules in particular that seem to be, you know, brushing up really close to late January, most recently this morning's release of a proposal that would end employment authorization for certain individuals with final orders of removal. You know, what might be, what happens to those kinds of regulatory documents that are in between stages of rulemaking, I guess I should say. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know, either Shev or Leon, you want to weigh in on that?
I'm happy to take that one. And then, Leon, if you have more to add, feel free. Right. So I think everything's very dependent on what state the rule is in when the new administration takes over. So if the rule remains as proposed, like the one that was issued this morning, like the H-1B lottery rule, then an administration can more easily just withdraw the rule and choose not to finalize a rule. If a final rule has been published or has taken effect, then it requires a new administration to essentially write a whole new rule, do a whole new economic analysis for that rule, and most likely seek public comment on that rule before it can take steps to rescind the rule. So the rule would take effect or remain in effect until a new administration is able to publish a rule to rescind that rule. And then we also should pay very close attention to many rules which have been challenged in the courts and what the impact of that would be. So if a rule has been finalized already, like the public charge rule, the DOL prevailing wage rule, the DHS H-1B strengthening rule, for example, if those were set aside by a court or if they, you know, are enjoined, this would help a new incoming administration to be able to craft settlements that would rescind the rules and ensure that they don't take effect.
Exactly. Leon, you want to talk a little bit about both the litigation piece or the difficulty of undoing them by regulation if that's necessary?
I don't know that I have anything really to add to what Shev said. I think she captured all the different mechanisms by which, you know, and again, it's really going to depend on where the music stops, as Shev said. I'm not sure I have much to add.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. We'll pause for another moment to allow questions to queue. It appears we have no further questions. I will turn the program back over to our presenters for any additional remarks.
Okay. Anything more from folks on the call? All right. If not, then I thank you all for your time. If you have questions or follow-ups, you can reach out to George Tamaris at AILA, and happy to respond to any other questions or concerns directly. Thank you all very much.